are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go here on this Monday. 216-578-0850, the way to call. But when that will be after we go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in the voice of your Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, thank you for being with us here on a Groundhog Day Monday.
No problem, Nathan. This is really something. When you look back at the totality of this losing streak on opening day, it's really amazing. And we've lost them in all shapes and sizes, and yesterday just again falls into the list.
Yeah, it certainly does. Overall, we'll just start top level. Your impressions here.
Well, I have to tell you, if I'm in Philadelphia today, I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, I have to tell you, that was a very impressive performance by Carson Wentz. It was so professional, and I think that's the thing that struck me. I mean, there was never an inkling that when I looked out there and I watched him, whether it was during the course of the action or even when he was in between on a time of possession, on a change of possession timeout, I mean, just the way he carried himself, there was never an inkling that he was fretful or that he was a rookie or that he was struggling with any kind of communication or understanding of what he was going to see and what he was going to attempt to do. So if I'm in Philadelphia, I mean, mission accomplished. I mean, they took a gamble by playing him, I think, and declaring him as their starting quarterback after so little play by Wentz in the preseason. So, I mean, a job well done by them and certainly by him, and something to really build on in an exciting fashion. Now, for us, I mean, you know, it was just very, very disappointing. I thought, you know, they fell behind, but there were a couple of points I thought where the game kind of swung back towards them or it kind of hung in the balance, and each time they weren't able to come up with the answer to either tie the game up or take the lead. And then I think when the snap went over RG3's head and the safety was the result of that, and then another touchdown after the free kick, I thought the game got blown apart. And then it became, you know, a situation where they're so far behind they have to pass and they have atrocious field position. I mean, all of the things that happen in a loss. Your defense is out on the field for too long, and I think that it becomes a really disappointing day.
Jim, as you look at this football game, and you know, Nathan and I have been taking it on the nose by both callers and Nathan with his tweets for the first hour of the show, what are some of the bright spots that you can pull? It can be, you know, the scheme, it can be a play or players that you pulled out of yesterday's football game.
Well, I'll start. I think the obvious ones would be some of the young players on defense. I mean, they were out there a lot, but there were certain guys that when they were out there, they were always in the play. They were a part of the play, and they were the reason that the play did not succeed for Philadelphia. So, I mean, obviously, you got to begin at the top of the list with Nassib because he continues to play well. And really, if you go through the entire preseason and then add on yesterday, he just keeps getting better and better and better the more he's out there. And he's just got a great motor, and he uses it in the right way. He's always in motion. He's very, very fluid. He's very athletic. Very long. He's everything that you want, and he's very aggressive. So, I mean, he's at the top of the list. I thought Ogba played pretty well, too. I thought Danny Shelton kind of got in there and made some plays yesterday, too. I was very pleased, and I know Nathan and I talked about this on the broadcast. I thought that the kid Derek Kindred played very well, and I know he went down late in the game with an injury. So, on the defensive side, I thought that was very, very, you know, a good sign to really build on. Offensively, I don't know. I just think that we're living on this long ball. The offense doesn't seem to have a true formation to it in the sense that, you know, it's difficult to live on the long ball like that.
Yep.
But it seems as though that's the way we get down the field. There is no intermediate type of offensive game that they have right now. I think that RG3 still at times looks very uncomfortable in the pocket. I thought Duke Johnson looked to be effective in a number of ways, certainly catching the ball out of the backfield. And, you know, you just can't have your center snap the ball over the quarterback's head. It's not funny in practice, and it's really not funny in a game. And then I really thought that I would really love to see Corey Coleman calm down and just be the player that we want him to be. So whether that's this Sunday getting him the ball, getting him going early, just getting something really easy to make a play and get him going. But, I, you know, it's obvious he's – He needs to be a part of the offense, and right now he looks like a really uptight rookie.
Yeah, that drop, uncharacteristic, certainly from him. And then the two by Gary Barnidge were certainly not good and didn't help this team get any kind of sustained momentum on offense. And you alluded to it, other than maybe a couple drive stretch, you know, late in the second quarter and then the first drive of the third quarter. That was really the only time they were able to move the ball. And RG3 took that shot late, and all of a sudden, yep. I don't know if you've seen this, Jim, but on Twitter, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, Peter Schrager, all reporting that RG3, there, the fear is that he will be out for a significant period of time. If that's
the
case.
I have to tell you, yep. Nathan, I saw him. I was in the it took a long time for him to come into the interview room, and now, you know, that's the reason why, after the game, and he came in, and the left arm was just hanging. You know, he had no strength in it. He wasn't using it. And this is in an interview situation. So I'm amazed he went back out on the field even after that happened. And yeah, I could definitely tell he was not feeling well after the game.
Offensively, where does this team have to go? What does it have to do to get better? Because we knew Philly was going to be a good defense. And, yes, there were some bright spots with the young guys on defense. But offense is what is supposed to be the staple of this football team under Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, because, and you're right, because a lot of people, you know, keep thinking that we're going to be, you know, downright explosive on offense. I mean, people are predicting, you know, big numbers, and it's just a case then, a matter of whether or not the defense can keep the number lower than how many points we score, but it's probably going to be high. So we're a long way away from being that. I just think being able to stay on the field, Nathan, I mean, it just seems as though during the preseason, the time of possession category was tilted so much towards whoever the Browns were playing, but I thought it might be because they were just playing so many different people defensively and getting people a look, and even on that side, on the other side offensively, that you couldn't get any cohesiveness going. But then again, yesterday it happened again. I mean, the time of possession is frighteningly tilted towards the opposition, and that we don't have the ball a lot,
yeah.
And that's a two-pronged problem, and that is that, number one, we're not getting off the field on third down. And number two, we're not staying on the field once we get the ball. Now, you're right. When you isolated, Barnidge made a couple of big drops on big plays that would have been able to sustain drives. Xavier Cooper jumped offside on what was a third down and I think four very early in the game. And who knows what Wentz would have been able to do in that situation that early in the game. So I just think really the cohesiveness offensively to be able to stay on the field, move the sticks. You know, it's great to be able to hit those long throws, but, I mean, you're just not going to be able to make a living on that.
That's absolutely right. And Jim, something that stuck out to me yesterday during our award-winning version of Fact or Fiction yesterday in the pregame show was a question about Joe Hayden returning to that elite status, that you know, man-dominating cornerback. And didn't quite see it yesterday, as almost all the wide receivers for the Philadelphia kind of had their way with all of our corners, Joe Hayden included. Just your overall perspective on his play yesterday, because we thought it'd be such a luxury having him back.
Yeah, I would agree with you. He made one really nice play, you know, down towards the Browns bench at one point where he got in there and got the ball away. But you're right. But I will say that the touchdown pass to Aguilar was right in front of me. Now, he had a step on him. Aguilar had a step on Hayden. It was a beautiful throw. I mean, he dropped it right in there. It was really a great throw. You're right. You know, it's probably going to take some time. He didn't play but five games last year, and he didn't play well in the five games. And I know he wasn't 100% healthy for any of the games because it really his physical problems started in training camp a year ago. But I think it's right now a little bit of being able to play, but I think there might just be a level of a lack of confidence that he is pressing to become. I think he knows, like everybody else, that people look at him and he looks at himself and he's not the same defensive back, and he's got to get back to that point. And I think he's pressing a little bit, you know, in trying to get to that level once again.
Talk with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. So, Jim, where does this team go from here? Obviously, it's funny because you would think from some of the reaction that the expectations were Super Bowl, but this team, there were some positives on defense, ultimately not enough. And you talked about not getting off the field. Amazingly, the Browns defense held the Eagles to 5 of 15, I'm sorry, on third down conversions, but they picked up so many first downs on first and second, it didn't much matter. Where does this team go from here?
Well, I think that, you know, number one is, you know, it would be, you know, I just think right now, I looked at the game yesterday, and, you know, it doesn't do us any good, but, I mean, I really think that two guys were, that were suspended for that game yesterday would have really had a big ball game yesterday, because we were just a click away from hitting Wentz so many times, and Armani Bryant is such an explosive pass rusher. I could have seen him being a factor in the game. And whenever Gordon plays, I think that that really, and if he's playing well, and I think he was in the two games that he played in the preseason, then I think that would have helped. Now, that's not viable right now because of the rules, and
nope.
And they've got to sit three more games. But those guys would have helped. I just think right now you have to really get down to a point where you have to be able to really just basically hold on to the football and move the football and try and not expose that defense on the field as long as they've been doing it through really the first four preseason games and certainly the game yesterday. They're just out there a long, long time. And when it's just a wearing down factor. So offensively, I think the burden is on that side. I think the head coach realizes it too, and he's doing everything to try and gimmick it up a little bit and even hold on to the ball in tricky ways. But they need to really put together some sustained drives where they are just moving the chains, getting first downs, getting field position, using clock, and then hopefully getting the ball into the end zone rather than settle for field goals. It's a very meat and potato type of approach, but I think when you're at this point, that's the way you got to go.
What did you think of the decision to run that fake punt early in the game?
I did not like it. I didn't like it. It was fourth and five. Am I right? Fourth and five?
It was fourth and five. Barnage had dropped the ball on third down.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I think you're on the road, and I think you know, you're trying to contain the game, and I think you're so deep in your own territory. I mean, I remember, you know, Matt, do you remember in the national championship game against Florida when the Gators were kind of taking it to the Buckeyes, and Jim Tressel in a very frantic way went for it on fourth down on his own, at about his own 29.
Yep,
And it didn't work, and the game was over at that point. Now, luckily, the game wasn't over here. I think they held him to a field goal, but I didn't like it. I wasn't really impressed with it. I wasn't impressed with the play, and I wasn't impressed with the decision.
And unfortunately, it was one that backfired. The defense then did a good job to limit the Eagles to a field goal there. If there was one guy that you came out of this game feeling good about, was it Carl Nassib?
Oh, absolutely. Gosh, I got to tell you, I mean, he does everything so far. He can rush the passer. He doesn't play the run that poorly at all. I mean, he chases things down, but it's his length that really he knocks passes down, you know, and you know, you brought it up to me during the preseason. I mean, watching him as he's coming out on the field and during like a change of possession before the television audience comes back and rejoins the game and we continue play. I mean, he's all over the place. He's prowling. And I think there needs to be more of that on that defense. Yeah, I think at the top of the list, head and shoulders. I mean, he was really the player to build on.
Yes, and hopefully the team will find more players to build on as this season goes along. Jim, appreciate the time as always.
All right, guys, take care.
Thanks,
Jim. All right, that's Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Coming up 2:30, we will have Hugh Jackson's press conference live here on this show. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850, right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. 10 minutes away from Hugh Jackson addressing the media here. We'll have that live for you on Cleveland Browns Daily. Let's go to Phil in Brecksville now. Phil, welcome.
Hey, guys. You know, it's funny. I'm not even mad anymore. I'm just, like, almost beaten. When you see what happened in this last, what I hope for is I hope that they didn't have to tear down the team, first of all, to get to where they are. Nathan, on your show, I remember there were two centers out there. One went to Washington on the seventh rounder, and they were both starting guys. We knew we needed a center. I mean, to tear this team down to nothing, okay. But there were places where they knew, and they have the salary, where they didn't have to tear it down to get to where they were. The second part is, for guys that have been here, I am so sick. You know, we all know Julio Jones, what Khalil Mack, what David Carr, and now Carson Wentz, what they all have in common is, if we would just stayed where we are, we would have those kinds of players on our team instead of trading down. And to the guys that have been there for 30 years, that have gone through this, we're just like sick of it because it's the same thing. Okay, we needed a quarterback. Tony Grossi said it for years. We need a quarterback. Since 1990, we have needed a quarterback. And it seems like things are just the same as they always were. And I hope for better, honestly.
They need a quarterback. By the way, the Browns have just posted an article saying the Browns quarterback RG3 sustained a significant injury during the team season opener at Philadelphia on Sunday and has been placed on injured reserve. Under the new injured reserve rules for the 2016 season, each team can designate one player to return. The designation does not need to be made until the player is able to return. A player placed on injured reserve is eligible to return to practice in 6 weeks and must miss a minimum of 8 games. That means the earliest that Robert Griffin III could return would be the Browns' 10th game of the year, November the 27th, against the New York Giants. So Josh McCown will be your starting quarterback for the Browns going forward. With this news, RG3 has been placed on injured reserve. It is official injured reserve for Robert Griffin III. Let's go to Chevy in New Jersey.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
You got it, man. What's up?
I just remember Flip, when he was calling plays, it kind of reminded me of the Eagles offense. Remember, like, when Wentz was back there and the guy made the cut and he threw the ball before he even made the cut. I mean, that's what Flip used to teach him. And Flip was a good offensive coordinator. I like you. I like the GM. I like everything this team's doing. You know, I don't care if RG3's hurt. I think it was a good move. We got draft picks next year. But daggone it, we need a play caller that can exploit defense. I love you, but come on.
I'm going to go ahead and give Hugh Jackson the benefit of history and success he has had as a play caller in the National Football League, that it will come. It was one game, and I think that when you look at the talent on this team, they aren't as talented as other teams in the National Football League. And I believe that that's pretty much a fact, and you're going against a good defense. Now, it's not going to get any easier for them. They're going to have to do it. Now they're doing it without Robert Griffin III. And Josh McCown, we know he started successfully last year at times, but not from a record standpoint was he successful. But he's going to have to come in and play, and that's why they kept him, because it would not have been fair to Cody Kessler to trot him out there now if he was not ready. But now he's one play away. I would not be surprised if the Browns go out and sign a veteran quarterback off of the street as well.
A veteran. Yes, we need. I mean,
not even a
fun. And things get scary. And I mean, thank goodness we didn't trade Josh McCown. And now he's got to serve his role. And I think Josh McCown, knowing him as a person and as a player, is going to step up and relish this opportunity because he wants to play for this team. He wants to play for this fan base. He wants to right the wrongs, I'm sure, that he's probably seen over his, you know, little bit over a year being in Cleveland and wanting to stay here even amidst, you know, some of the trade rumors early in the season.
So apparently he has a fractured bone in his shoulder, and that is why he is out. The earliest, again, that RG3 could return is week 10. Adam must miss 8 games, so week 10 at home against the New York Giants. Josh McCown and Gary Barnage were pretty darn good together last year, so maybe we'll see a little bit more of Gary Barnage in this one. But Josh McCown is now the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Cody Kessler now number 2 on the depth chart for the Browns at quarterback. Let's get one last call, Mike, in Grand Rapids, then we'll break, and we'll hear from the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Grew up in North Ridgeville, but work took me out here western side of Michigan. But with technology, I can watch all the games on DirecTV, and I go ahead, and with my buddy Joe, I pause it between 7 and 11 seconds to sync up with Jim Donovan, and it's a whole new show when you can get your guys' commentary on network TV.
Oh, thank
so,
you.
Yeah, it works out good. One frustration, and it's always at around the noon hour, the app goes down. I don't know if that's because everybody tailgate and turns it on at that time or whatever, but it just shuts down and it bogs down. But when the game starts, everybody's probably turned their TV on, and then the app works again. But tell those tech guys to boost up the amperage or whatever they got to do during the pregame. But right around the noon hour, it just shuts down, and you'll get into your pregame show. And I start listening first thing in the morning with you guys. But every year. And I sent a note in last year, and they said, oh, the new Apple 6, but it hasn't.
Well, I will pass that on to those in charge of it. Again, RG3 placed on injured reserve. For the Browns, I think that now you can – they will draft – I mean, they should – I hope, let me rephrase that. I won't say what they should do or could do. I hope they will draft a quarterback in the first round in 2017. They will have the ammunition to go up and get a good
yes,
one.
Yes, they will.
There's a chance, I think, that the Browns will be picking near the top of the draft. I like Kaiser out of Notre Dame, physical pocket passer. Deshaun Watson has struggled, but hopefully they can find a guy to be their franchise quarterback. I think this makes it very, very difficult to think that they could go into next year with RG3 as that guy, given that at the most you'll see from him a grand total of 8 games in this season. But I think that they are going to have to go ahead and, they've got to address that position. It's something that I'm sure people out there are going to be, oh, they should have had Carson Wentz this year. Time will tell if that is in fact correct right now. Certainly looks like that could be the case. Again, RG3 placed on injured reserve. He has a fractured coracoid bone. I don't know how to say that, in his left shoulder. Surgery is not required at this time. His left shoulder will be reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks. And it is an unfortunate thing, but now Josh McCown will be the quarterback, and people are reporting that it is likely that RG3 could in fact be done for the entirety of the 2016 season.
And that's crazy. And that was the one big knock against RG3. There were multiple knocks, and that's something that we've talked about, leading into yesterday's game, was righting a lot of wrongs. And there were the wrongs of him as a person, and the way that he treated people, and the way that people thought about him based around his time in Washington and being spoiled and coddled by Dan Snyder, the owner there, and that was not appreciated by the local media or the coaches, and then also the fall in his play on the football field. And I think some of that fall from grace had to do with his inability to stay on the football field and adapting that running kind of, wild, wild west style of run and gun, throwing the ball football down the field, getting out of the pocket a la, Johnny Manziel and himself that same way. He got hurt. And we got hurt, it opened up the door to other options at quarterback, and it stabilized that franchise, I believe, with, drafting of Kirk Cousins. And you got to see what it was like with a stable person and a stable quarterback. And now here we are, excited about what RG3 could do with us with his legs and the zone read, with his big arm, and now we're without him. And I think I just don't know how much this Hugh Jackson offense will change now with him on the shelf.
Well, we will find out, and we will hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, momentarily. Matt, what's the story there?
Hey, guys, we're probably about a couple minutes away here.
Okay, do you want a break and come back for it?
You guys can just keep it because we're on it. We're very, very close.
All right, we will keep it until the press conference when we hear from him. Again, RG3 expected missed time. Now, Josh McCown came in, set some franchise records last year. In fact, it was his first game against the Baltimore Ravens, where he set the record for the most passing yards in a single game in Cleveland Browns history in the regular season. And they're going to call on him to come in and be ready to go. At least he is able to do that. Now, it's funny knowing that RG3's injury was so significant that he still went in there to go in and continue playing. Was very interesting. I know that the trainers were advising against it. He wanted to finish the game. He did that. Obviously, I don't think he suffered any more of an injury to that shoulder, but now he is done, at least until week 10 against the Jets. And for a season that was supposed to be about evaluation, one of the big evaluations was supposed to be RG3. And now that opportunity has been taken from them in just one single game.
Yeah, and I've actually, what I'm doing right now is I'm looking up the coracoid bone on where exactly it falls in the shoulder. And I think it's the diagram of the skeletal structure. It's like, I think it's on the outside of the shoulder, essentially, not your scapula, like an extension of your shoulder. And it's funny to me, just watching that hit yesterday, it was jarring, but not to the point where I thought it was bone-breaking jarring. And yet, I don't know. I don't know at this point what to say. It's just, we're caught off guard by it, not knowing about this. But there's a reason why we have Josh McCown, and he's here for a reason.
Well, and now that reason will rear its ugly head. McCown should be a guy that can play in this system for Hugh Jackson. But again, unfortunate, RG3 is out until at least week 10. Some people think that he will be done there. It's just for what the Browns are trying to do, it is having Josh McCown in there does not further that in any way, shape, or form. Now, it'll allow you to evaluate maybe some of your receivers and your pass catchers. I don't think it's necessarily a terrible thing for this offense, but you wanted to evaluate RG3 and see what you had there because you chose to evaluate Robert Griffin III.
Bless you.
Pardon me. Instead of drafting a quarterback like Carson Wentz early in this draft, that was the decision that's been made, and now that decision has been taken away from you in the sense that you have no opportunity to even look at him this year, at least for half of the season, and I'll find out how long that will be going forward, and Josh McCown is going to be your starter, and blah.
Yeah, it's just frustrating, debilitating, and I think for a team that had such high hopes, I'm sure, with Hugh Jackson going into this football game on the road to right a lot of wrongs of what's happened over the last 16 years, you felt like everything was headed in the right direction, and then you not only got dealt the loss in the fashion that you got dealt it yesterday, and then today, for the guys that are in the building, getting their rehab, getting a lift on, you know, watching film, for the guys that, you know, are headed home, it's like to see that hit your notifications on your phone has to just be, you know, debilitating on where you think your season's going to go. And we thought this same thing about the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday from their locker room, starting with Carson Wentz. So they're on one end of the spectrum, and we're on the polar opposite end of the spectrum.
Yes, we are. And it just, you feel, at least to me, you feel like on some level, this kind of sets back what you were hoping to do for this season, at least at the quarterback position. At least there. At the quarterback position, they decided that they wanted to go ahead and go with RG3. And I think what this injury says to you is that, number one, he can't be the guy that you count on because his career has just been so injury-riddled. So I think that forces the decision going forward that they need to take a quarterback early, maybe two if you want, early in the 2017 NFL draft. So I think that decision is over. So the talk of RG3 becoming the guy, I mean, you're getting two defensive studs to go with him, that's over.
Yes.
You got to get a quarterback now going forward, and I think the evaluation of RG3 being able to be your franchise guy is done for you, at least. I think it's done, period. I think you injuries, just too many of them, and you see what happened there. It will be interesting. It's kind of a bummer. We're never going to get to see, at least not for a while. We don't know if we ever will get to see RG3 throwing the ball to Josh Gordon. We got to see just a little bit of RG3 to Corey Coleman. Let's go to head coach Hugh Jackson now live at the podium in Berea.
Well, obviously yesterday is not how we wanted to start our season. But today we get to look at the what and why things didn't go the way we wanted them to, and get a chance to make some corrections and move forward. We're working through that process now, watching tape with our guys, and I think it's been a good day's work with them that way in the weight room, and also looking at themselves offensively, defensively, and special teams. And I think we understand there's some improvement that we need to do. We had a lot of self-inflicted wounds, you know, on offense and defense, a little bit on special teams, but they're very fixable things. And we understand there's a process to it, and our guys are excited about the opportunity to get back out to practice and see if we can make do on some of those changes. Obviously, I'm sure you all have heard the news about Robert. It's really unfortunate, because Robert worked extremely hard to put himself in position, one, to be our quarterback, to be one of the team leaders, and it's just very unfortunate. But please let me make it known, Robert didn't get hurt trying to run into a linebacker or DB as what happened. I think it was close to the end of the game where I think he broke out when I think it happened. That he could remember, I think he broke out and was trying to scramble and trying to get out of bounds. And I think Gary was blocking the defender, and the defender was really out of bounds. And he was trying to get there, and at the last second, he's being pushed in the back. And as he turned to go out of bounds, the guy was standing there and hit him right in the chest. So that's how that happened. It wasn't because he was trying to take on a defender, you know, during a scramble or anything like that. It was just very unfortunate. These things happen in football, and we'll move forward.
Hugh, what do you make of the
not, because I really couldn't tell. You know, I couldn't tell how close it was to the side. I don't think it was bad. I don't think the guy was trying to hurt Robert, if that's what you're implying. I think the guy was out of bounds himself, and I think he reacted to here comes this player running at him at the last second. I think they both seen each other, and it was just a reaction. That's why Robert kind of ended up on top of him, and then they fell on top of each other. So I think, again, you know, it's football. Those things happen. It's unfortunate, but it does happen in this sport.
Mm-hmm. You're not looking at this play like that was like he messed up that second.
No, because I think he was trying to protect himself. I think he was truly heading out of bounds. And I think this is one of the times where it's unfortunate he didn't see the guy. And I don't think the guy seen him because Gary was blocking him at the last second. Here's this guy that pops up. And again, he's being pushed in the back as this is happening. Probably lost control a little bit. But he was trying to do the right thing. There's no question in my mind about that.
Any possibility he could have slid?
No, because I think his momentum was taking him out of bounds. You know, I think he was so close to the sideline that you would think you can run out and be okay. I don't think he saw the guy at all until the very last second.
I mean, before that, but you had said in preseason sometimes more is not better.
Yeah, but if you're heading out of bounds, you're heading out of bounds, right? You would think you can get out of bounds. So
3 yards before?
No, it wasn't. That's why I said the player was out of bounds. If you see the play, you'll see it clearly that the guy was out of bounds when all of a sudden he tackled Robert.
Should he have been penalized for that? I mean, I understand that's not what the issue is, but I mean, you can't be out of bounds and tackle a guy.
Yeah, I mean, this guy was out of bounds, and you shouldn't be able to be out of bounds and tackle a guy. But I think the guy was trying. I think when he seen Robert, he was trying to get his momentum back in bounds, and I think Robert was trying to get out of bounds. And again, Gary was blocking a player, and at the last second, this player appears. You know, it's like a block and you feel like you can get out of bounds right before this guy's about to touch you, but then all of a sudden you get pushed in the back and now this guy's closer to you than you think, and boom, you get tackled. No, I think he'll be designated for IR. We'll get an opportunity to see where he is 4 weeks from now, and then kind of go from there. But it might be a little while before he's able to come back out and play. I don't know that. We won't know that until we reevaluate everything again. But I think there's a chance that hopefully it won't be that. But I don't think we'll know until we get opportunity to evaluate it again. Very. That's why you keep him here. You know, I said that to you guys a long time ago. I mean, I think you have to have quarterbacks on your football team that can play. And that's why we kept Josh here, because he knows how to play and he's been in this league and understands our offense and what we're trying to accomplish. You know, it's unfortunate that this happened to Robert, but it is comforting to know that we have a guy that has played in NFL games and know how to manage games and play the game and play within our system.
You're knowing that it was hurt to some extent and the game virtually over. Can you explain the importance of getting him back in the game when it could have been a fumble and he could have dove for it?
Oh, no. I think he wanted to be out there with his teammates. I don't think anybody knew to the extent of the injury. You know, sometimes, I mean, we're all tough guys. You know, we go out there and play, and we want to stay out there with our teammates and finish the game. And, again, that's a credit to Robert. And I don't think, you know, he did not want to be out there with his guys. And at the time, I don't think anybody, our medical staff is as good as anybody, and we would never put a player out there if there was a chance that there could be something serious. But at the time, I don't think it was anything. And if I'm not mistaken, we just handed the ball off the last times he was in the game. And finish the game. So I thought it was a good decision for him to be back out there with his teammates and finish the game.
How frustrating is it, though, that you wanted to get a good look at Robert this year, you wanted to develop him and hope he could turn into your long-term guy, now he's going to miss at least 8 games?
Well, that's part of it. That's part of this business. You know, it's frustrating, but at the same time, I do get it, you know. I've always been part of the saying, next man up, you know, and it's real in this league, you know. It's unfortunate you have the injuries you do, but you got to be able to move on from them because nobody's going to feel sorry for us about it. So we have to move on to the next guy and keep going.
You know, you have Kevin Hogan on the practice squad. With this, though, being what it is, we look to possibly add another quarterback here for some more insurance.
We haven't had those discussions yet. We have two guys. We got Cody that's here, and we have Kevin that's here. So we'll look to our guys first, and then if we feel like we need to move on from there and find somebody, then we will. But right now, I think we're comfortable where we are, and we'll continue to have those discussions.
With Cody, do you think, I mean, he needs to be ready to be the the backup, but I guess, you know, we saw him play a little bit in the preseason. Didn't seem like he was 100% ready to go then. What does he have to do to get ready to just one snap away?
Got
to
practice. You know, again, I think, you know, the times you see him in preseason, he hadn't had an opportunity to have a lot of snaps in practice. Because normally the guys that played early in the preseason were the guys who were trying to somewhat get ready to play. So if it turns into that, we just got to get him some more reps than what he had before. So we'll cross that bridge as we go through this week.
Coach, would the offense change at all with McCown?
I mean, I'm sure there's bits and pieces that will. But at the same time, he's been here, you know, through OTAs, through training camp, and through the preseason. So I know what he's capable of doing, and we'll tailor things to him. But I don't think we got to just totally change our offense from what it's been.
When you went back and watched the fake punt on film, what went wrong?
I think what happened was, like I said, totally, I take total responsibility for it. There were some guys that needed to be in the game, you know, a little sooner than what they were. And we didn't get that communicated properly throughout. And again, I have the veto to say, okay, let's not do this. And I didn't call it off soon enough.
Were you man down?
Huh?
Were you man down?
No, we wasn't a man down. Oh, we had 11. It was just about making sure the other offensive players, they were coming off the field and they had to go back. Yeah, we had enough. It's just that I think they snuffed it out once our guys started to go back. And with Duke standing back there, you know, the time of surprise didn't happen the way it should have. And so they snuffed it out and made a great play.
The two touchdown passes that went through, what did you see? What went wrong on those?
Well, one of them, he made a tremendous throw, you know, the one with Tremont. Tremont was trying to play the guy with outside leverage. The guy kind of took leverage away and made a play. And then the other one with Joe, you know, again, I mean, it's the guy made a heck of a throw and the guy made a heck of a play. You know, I think our guys, obviously both of our players understand they need to stay on top. You know, it's a top down deal. You don't want to get beat deep. So it's something we got to improve at.
Throughout OTAs, preseason and all of that, was RG showing signs of being everything that you thought he could be in terms of maybe your quarterback in the future?
One more time, Mary Kay, I'm sorry. No, he was. He had. I mean, he had improved. The one thing that's been an Achilles heel, you know, throughout the preseason has been our third down percentage. And it showed up again in our first game. So it's something that, to me, that has been an issue that I have to address because it's what's allowing our defense to stay out there quite a bit and allowing our offense not to stay on the field quite a bit. So we can't be 2 for 10 on third down. You know, we got to get better. And so... and that's when, you know, the quarterback and the receivers and the line's got to be at their best. And we haven't done that. So that's been a problem. And I have to, along with the offensive coaches, get that fixed.
I know you probably haven't thought this far ahead, but, I mean, if he's going to miss most of the season, potentially all of the season, doesn't you guys are going to have two, potentially, or at least two first-round picks next year. I mean, does this kind of gum up the works in terms of trying to figure out whether or not you
Right. Well, I haven't. You said it best. I hadn't thought that far yet. I mean, there's Baltimore right around the corner here, and that's probably what's totally on my mind, and just making sure that our players grow from the experience that we had on Sunday. But I'm sure it'll be a conversation here pretty soon.
Do you believe in the fourth quarter? I think it was like around 2 minutes left. You had a couple of timeouts in your pocket. I know the Eagles were you know, moving the ball in close. Could you kind of just kind of take us through your
We're down by a ton of points. I forget exactly what it was. What was the final score? 29-10. So I think we're down by 19 points. And I think putting the offense back out there again in that situation when they were making a first down wasn't gonna, you know, serve anything at that particular point in time, in my opinion. So that's why I made the decision that I did.
There was a lot of talk yesterday and today about how well Carson Wentz played, and obviously you guys had the chance. Was there any in the building, any second guessing?
No, we haven't. That's one thing I can tell you for sure hasn't happened. And he did. He had a good game and a great game, if you guys want to term it that. And I respect that. I mean, he's a fine young man, and they had good coaches and good organization, and he's going to do well for him. But that was one game, you know, and he played well. So, like I said, we'll look back and see where he is, you know, over a period of time. But the Browns have got to get better, you know, and that's what we got to do. We got to play better. And I think we all understand that.
Just from the fact that you've been a head coach once before and have to have that experience, this may have rocked your world a little bit less than, you know, that if you were a first-time head coach.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. My world hadn't been rocked yet. It'd take a lot to rock my world this way. So, no, I mean, am I disappointed? Yeah, I'm disappointed for our players and for the organization, for the fans. I mean, we want to put a better product out there. I think our players want to play better. And my job is to help them play better. So I'm disappointed in that. But I'm not discouraged by any stretch of imagination. I'm not. Matter of fact, I'm more determined to get this fixed and to do better and have our players play better. And that's what I told them today. I'm more determined than ever before to get this right, because at the end of the day, that's what I came here for. And I said it before, I don't like losing. And at the same time, I know in order to win, you got to do the right things that give you a chance to win. And we haven't done that. So until we do that, you know, on a consistent basis, well, we have an opportunity to win. So that's what we're chasing.
Do you have some RG3 perspective?
I'm sorry?
How is RG3 handling the situation?
He's been outstanding. I think he's been through a lot, so I think he gets it. You know, he understands it's some fortunate that it happened. He worked extremely hard, but he also understands that, you know, there's a bigger plan. Sometimes he's not in control of everything, and it was unfortunate that it happened. But I think he's seen enough situations and been in enough in this league to understand that things happen in due time. You know, and that you got to work through this and be prepared when the next opportunity comes.
Hey, not the punt, fake punt, but Sproles on that 40-yard return.
Uh-huh.
You guys are missing special teams players who were here last year and aren't. How big is a problem is that coverage?
We got to go cover. It's not about the guys that are not here. It's about the guys that are here. You know, the guys that are here got to get it done. They're here because we believe they can do the job, you know, and again, we're trying to recover one of the premier returners in all of pro football. And there was a time we had him hemmed in a couple of times and made some good plays. And there's a time we didn't. And those times that we didn't, we got to learn from that and not give that guy that kind of space to make that kind of play. So, again, we have guys that I think are very capable. We just got to do it better. You know, we got to do it better than what we've done it.
Sashi mentioned the other day, and we did ask you about this earlier the other day too, but Sashi talked about the fact that, you know, you guys – had planned to support Robert, you know, to build sort of the team around him, and that he was going to be somebody that you were going to develop over time and be your sort of a long-term venture. Do you think, I mean, does that all still hold true?
Well, I think Sashi made a statement, and I'm going to let that one stay there. I mean, I don't, right now, Mary Kay, I'm not even thinking about that, you know. It's unfortunate. Here's this news, this young man is going to be out a while. And I think what's important that for our football team is that we move forward, you know, and worry about the game that's coming up this week and this week of practice and trying to get ourselves ready to play a good Baltimore team that's coming into town.
With so many young players within that locker room, and, you know, some of them are on the offensive side of the ball, especially mm-hmm. receiving corps. So how do you, in your staff, you know, make sure that those guys – don't allow that to suck a little wind out of their sails, losing their starting quarterback after 1 week?
Oh, I don't. That can't. This is pro football. That can't suck the wind out of your sails. I mean, you got to go. And whoever's playing quarterback for us, you got to get in sync with them real quickly. And that's the good part about Josh. He's been here. He's been around these guys, and he's helped mentor not just the quarterbacks but also the receivers. So he understands our rooms extremely well. So I feel very comfortable that he will get those guys to where they need to be and get them playing good.
How many more chances?
Two more, we're going to wrap.
How many more chances does Cameron Irving get to straighten out those snaps?
That's a good question. I don't know, you get too many chances. They keep snapping over the quarterback's head, and I think he knows that. But it's unfortunate. It's something that can't happen in a game. It's embarrassing, and it's not right. But at the same time, I think for the negative that Cam did, he's doing some good things too. You know, I think early in the game, for the most part, our protection was flawless. I thought we blocked them better than even what I expected early in the game. That's a talented front, and I think we did some really good things. And I think as the game wore on, I think the anxiety and pressure wore on. And we got to get better that way. But Cam is, he's working at it, I'm sure, and we're going to do everything we can to help fix that. Like I said, I don't want to coach the center, the quarterback snap, but if I got to take my jacket off and go down there and start coaching it, then I'm going to.
he's a big guy, you know, height-wise in that.
Yeah, that is.
But he was versatile in college and played a couple of different positions.
You go back and check when I was at Oakland, the guy that played center for me the first game of the year at Tennessee, his name was Jared Veldheer, and he's 6'8". Okay, so Al Davis thought he could be the center of the future, you know. So he played center the first game against Tennessee at 6'8". So I've had a tall center before for a moment, you know, but Cam can do it. I mean, again, it's unfortunate the snaps, you know, show up. Some he's got to correct. But at the same time, I'm disappointed in that, but I'm not down on the player. I mean, he's got to get that fixed, got to get it corrected. It will hurt our football team if it keeps happening. There's no doubt about that.
You lost the starting quarterback in 2011, relatively early in the season. What did you learn about that situation that you can apply now?
I learned not to trade. Don't do that. Don't do that because they'll tell you did it. No, I learned a valuable lesson in that situation, but no, I was just having a little fun right there. But no, I learned that if the team's been around the guy who has a chance to be a quarterback, it's probably better off keeping the guy that you have there just because there's continuity. You know, the guys know what to expect from that player and how he's going to perform and what he's going to do. So that was the biggest teacher for me. But again, you know, this situation was different than that one. I hate to compare. But we have a very capable backup here, you know, and a guy that's played in the National Football League for a lot of years and knows how to play and understands the lay of the land here and what needs to be done. So I'm excited about that. Thank you very much.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson there, obviously positive about Josh McCown. That's why he's here. He's a very capable backup, I think. Gary Barnage will see an uptick in his involvement, maybe Duke out of the backfield. This offense moved last year. McCown 1-7 as a starter in 8 games. The thing that's going to be very interesting is how long can Josh McCown survive? He was knocked out in 1 game last
year. Yes, he was.
And when you think about the options behind Josh McCown now, you have two very unproven, untested rookies in Cody Kessler and Kevin Hogan. Kessler did not look ready for regular season football in the preseason. Then again, neither did Carson Wentz, but we're talking about very different degrees of how these guys were evaluated around the National Football League. Wentz, the number 2 overall pick. Kessler in the 3rd round, some thought would go later. And Kevin Hogan, who was not drafted at all. So this is a challenging situation.
Yeah.
Bad game in Philadelphia.
I'm shell-shocked by the whole thing, man.
Bad loss. Now you lose the quarterback that was supposed to be the cornerstone of your evaluation for this season. And for the Cleveland Browns, it will be Josh McCown, and in some respects, back to the drawing board for this organization as it relates to the most important position in all of professional sports. The Golden Boys are up next. I want to thank Jim Donovan for calling in. Thanks to Matt Fontana, Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another joyous edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.